All right, today we are continuing our series on ghost stories, a not so spooky look at the Holy Spirit. And so this is the second week in that series. And so I'm excited about this, and it's really good. In fact, I told you this last week, and someone said, I can't wait to hear the series on the Holy Spirit because I've given my heart to the Lord. I love God with my whole heart, but I've never really learned that much about the Holy Spirit. So this is our chance to kind of delve into that and to jump into that a little bit. We're in the second week, and last week we talked about kind of an upgrade is ready and how there is a new way for us to look and how the Holy Spirit is not just an app that we add to our life, it's the operating system. We talked about how it is not just a part of our life, but anything good that comes out of our service and out of our time together, it's because of the Holy Spirit. It's not an accessory to our lives, an accessory to the preaching, an accessory to service. It is the very engine that drives it. Amen? Amen. All right, the Holy Spirit produces humility, not arrogance. It brings unity, not division. That the Holy Spirit is not weird. In other words, it's normal for the Holy Spirit to speak to our lives. It's not normal for him not to. The Holy Spirit's a person and not just this spooky force. And so in continuing with the story of the Holy Spirit and looking at the Holy Spirit, we're going to jump into week two. And this week we're going to begin to talk about the decisions and the directions that we have to make and the role the Holy Spirit plays in this. Guys, how many of you have ever said, God, show me what you want me to do. God, give me direction here. Help me with this decision. How many of you have ever done that? In fact, how many of you have ever prayed that, like, oh God, what do I do here? And maybe not outside, but inside. You felt, oh God, come on, raise them up. Let's be honest here. Don't be, aha, there we go. And maybe sometimes we've said, oh God, help me. And we haven't prayed for a month before, but in that moment, right? In that moment, we're saying, God, help me. And so we're talking about decisions and directions. And so many times we want to know where God wants us to go. And we want to know what he wants us to do. And we want to know what job to take and who do I marry and where do I move and what decisions to make. And when decisions and directions are a major part of our life, day after day, and we want God to help us. And I want to give you this promise today that what we learn throughout Scripture and throughout the Word is that God wants to lead us in those decisions. That the Holy Spirit wants to guide us and wants to direct us. And God wants to deal with us. Every one of us, God wants to lead us. I want to give you that promise today. And something happens when we come to relationship with Christ. That when we come into relationship with Jesus, when we cross the line of faith from a non-believer and we're a seeker and we say, I am giving my heart to the Lord. I want to follow you the rest of my life. Forgive me of my sins. When we have that moment and we cross the line of faith, that something happens. It's called salvation. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of us. And that at that point, literally, the Holy Spirit takes a residency inside of us, the Bible says. That's called salvation. And then the Holy Spirit wants to guide you beyond that. And that beyond that point, that the Holy Spirit begins to lead us and direct us and guide us, and that we can have him speak to our lives. So let me jump in here a little further. I want to go a little further with you today. Is that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul that the Holy Spirit guided his life. And we see in the life of the Apostle Paul that he was trained in the Old Testament laws and customs. He was brilliant. That the Apostle Paul was this incredibly bright person, and he had this radical conversion, and now he's in love with Jesus and passionate about the Lord and led by the Holy Spirit. And what happens in the life of Paul and what we see in Paul's life tells us a lot about the Holy Spirit. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16 today. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6, here's what it says. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. So here's the deal. You don't know where all these cities are, and some of it's just Greek to you, literally. It's just, it is what it is. But I want you to see kind of a process, so the cities are less important than the process. So again, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them to enter there. It goes on, and the verse says in verse 8, go ahead and turn to verse 8. It says, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And after Paul had seen the vision, let me go back to verse 9. Verse 9 is not included in here. In verse 9, it says, during the night, Paul had a vision from a man of Macedonia. And standing, and he was begging him in this dream, in this vision that Paul had, the man says, come over to Macedonia to help us. Verse 10, which is on your sheets, it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got up at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them in Macedonia. Now, when you read this passage and when you see this passage, it's normally used in the context of a mission service. This, for missionaries and mission services, is one of the most used passages because you have literally what they call the Macedonian call, to where they're saying, hey, come over here and come minister to us, which wasn't really the homeland of Paul. But you have this Macedonian call used in mission services. But we also need to understand a bigger picture in this as well. That when we think of Paul, we think highly of him. We think of Paul and his success. We see his powerful preaching. We see the New Testament is filled with the writings of Paul. But we miss a great aspect here that we need to understand in regards to Paul. We don't see in this passage, when he's having this vision from God, this dream from the Lord, this call from God, we don't see the humanity of Paul and how, just like you and me, he needed the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit in his life. Because do you realize just one chapter before, in Acts chapter 15, that Paul and Barnabas, two heroes of the faith, this is two of the church leaders, two of the heavyweights in the church of that day. Paul and Barnabas have such an argument, have such, the Bible says, a sharp disagreement. Do you know what that really means? They were yelling at each other. How many of you have ever had a yell out argument? Now, we may not know, they may not have been arguing, but it says that it is Forrest and it's me, and that we're leaders in the church, and we're having such a disagreement that I finally say, I'm done with you, you go that way, I'm going this way. That it's such a big argument, says, I don't even want to see you anymore. Talk to the hand. And that they have such a big disagreement that there's some humanity there that we need to see, and that they needed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want us to know is this. In Acts chapter 16, we see that they were wanting to go into Phrygia. They were wanting to go into the different areas, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. They were wanting to go a different direction, and the Holy Spirit was saying, no, no, go over there. And that there was a place for these men to go. And something that I want us to discover this about God is that God wants to lead you. That God wants to lead you, and that Jesus knew that he was going to ascend to heaven, and he was teaching this to his disciples before he left the earth. And here's what he says in John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak. The Holy Spirit's talking about, will not speak on his own authority, but from what he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And if you're taking notes today, I want us to understand this. What we see in Acts and what we see with Paul and what we see with Silas and what we see with the disciples is this, is that God has a plan for your life. If we look back in verses 9 and 10, it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian man standing up and begging him to come over, come help us in Macedonia. In verse 10, it says this, it says, and when he had seen the vision, they immediately sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that this was God's will for them to preach the gospel. Now, what we've already said is that Paul was a success. When we think about Paul, we think he was a success. That his New Testament books, 13 books of the New Testament, were attributed to him. But Paul's success was not a result of his education, though he was incredibly educated. Paul's success was not a result of him getting the right breaks. Paul's result Paul's success was a direct result of him being in the will of God as he listened to the Holy Spirit. Now, capture this. There was a place that was the best for Paul to be, a place. And today, you and I will face a decision of whether we're going to follow God's plans and we're going to follow God's will and God's direction, or we're going to pursue our own plans and our own goals. And perhaps we'll make a difference for God, and perhaps there'll be fruit of our lives that result for betterment of God's purposes in our lives and those around us. Or we can follow God and be ensured of that. We need to have the Holy Spirit to know what his plan is for our lives. You see, God's will for Paul and Silas was not for them to go to Phrygia, was not for them to go into Asia. God's will for their life was them to go to Macedonia. Now, when you look at Macedonia, it's both a Greek kingdom and a Roman province. It's both. It's a Greek kingdom and a Roman province, and it was perfectly suited for Paul's training, for Paul's history, for Paul's background, that this part of the world was perfectly suited for Paul to minister in. And God's plan and design was for them to go and to minister in that region that God had prepared them for, and that God had prepared these people to receive from them. There was a plan and a direction for Paul and Silas. Again, they wanted to go somewhere else. And God said, no, 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 you need to go here. And sometimes we don't understand God's plan. How many of you in here, you would say, there are times I don't understand the ways of God. But the truth of the matter is, we see our yesterdays and God sees our tomorrows. That we want to go fishing, but God knows where the big catch is. That we want to go hunting, but God knows where the big game is. That we sow the seed, so to speak, but God is the one who prepares the ground. God knows what is best for our lives. They were hindered, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit from going into another region because that field was not yet prepared for Paul and Silas to go to. Paul and Silas understood being in the will of God. Today, I want to ask you a question that I want you to chew on and to think about and to process as we continue through the sermon today is, are you in God's will? The question that I want us to digest and to process over the next few minutes is, are you in God's will? And maybe the question I need to ask is this, is what is the Holy Spirit whispering to your heart and whispering to your life and whispering to your spirit? What is the Holy Spirit whispering to you about his will and his plan for your life? And I want you to understand this. God has a plan for your life. But now I also want us to understand this. God's will can sometimes be hard to discover. One more time, how many of you have ever thought God's will is hard to discover for your life? Raise them up. Man, it's incredibly hard. And so, in fact, maybe I should put it this way. God's will is sometimes a winding route. I like to go from point A to point B. Okay, I am at the church. I want to drive straight to the house, and I'm at the office, and I want to go straight to the store. I don't like to take winding routes, and when detours come around, they're so annoying, right? In fact, Deneen was trying to get to church this morning, and she said that, you know, there's a storm that came a week or so ago, and all the trucks were picking up all the leaves, and she couldn't even get out of her block, and she was like, come on! That's what she said, like, in the... And how many of you ever feel like sometimes you're trying to get from point A to point B and there's all these detours and you're like, come on? Sometimes God's will is hard to discover. And I want us to look at the text again, that it was obvious to us that God's will for Paul and Silas was to go to Macedonia. But in this verse 6 again, it says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter there, but the Holy Spirit, that's what we're talking about, would not allow them to enter. So God's plan for them was evident to us looking back, but it wasn't evident to them. And Paul and Silas, they traveled for over 600 miles out of the way in order to get where God wanted them to go. 600 miles. Now, how long does that take to drive? 5 hours, 6 hours. If you're riding with Keith, it's like 3.5 hours. But these guys were walking 600 miles. And I think if I was walking 600 miles outside of God's will for my life, I'd be a little agitated with God or me, one or the other. So these guys, they wanted to go one way and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. They tried to go another one and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, 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 go over here. But listen to this, I want you to capture it. With the lack of specific direction, they operated under the principle of general direction. Now, it's not in your notes, but I want you to listen to me closely. Without the specific direction of God, they operated under general direction, that they were New Testament believers, and they operated under the premise from Jesus that says this in Matthew 28, go therefore into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've taught you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So while they're on this journey from where they were to Macedonia, they're on this winding route, 600 miles out of the way. They're on this winding route, and they're preaching, and they're teaching. And what the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, that churches were established all along the route. So sometimes as you're saying, God, what is your will for my life? Are you still doing the things and living for him the way he has taught you to do? And that no matter where you go, fruit is following you. Does that make sense? God, where do I work? Well, are you honoring him on the job you're currently in? God, who do you want me to marry? Well, are you honoring God with the relationships you already have? God, God, who do you want me, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go to school? Are you honoring him where you're at right now? Because until we get specific revelation, we still honor him with this general revelation of God's will. So again, why was there fruit behind their lives? Why was there churches established everywhere they went, even though it wasn't the end result of Macedonia? Because as it says in Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Are you still honoring God where you're at? But here's what I want us to understand, is that you may not be clearly hearing God's will, and you may have trouble discovering where he is, but we need to understand is that we have a purpose from God. Sometimes it's hard to discover. So now let's jump in. Then how do we discover God's will? How do we live in the middle of God's will day after day, moment by moment, month after month? How do we live in the middle of God's will? How many of you want to live in the middle of God's will? Man, I want to live in God's will, because what we see is that there was a place for them to go. But even when they weren't in that place, in that specific place, there was still fruit following their life, but the greatest fruit came as they followed the Lord. So how do we hear the voice of God? How do we have the Holy Spirit help us with our directions and our decisions and each step along the process? How do we hear from God? Today, if you're taking notes, I want us to step back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 36, it says this in verse 36, beginning in verse 25. He says, I will sprinkle water on you, and I will clean, and I will, and you will be clean from all of your sins, uncleanness, and from all of your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So in other words, you'll feel what I feel. You'll feel what God feels. So here's what we need to understand today. How does the Holy Spirit help us make decisions? That God uses the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts. God uses the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts. So as God resides inside of you and we begin to follow him, that at that moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And that from there, we continue this process, because here's the deal, the primary job of the Holy Spirit is to purify our hearts. And at salvation, as the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, there is a moment where your sins are forgiven, and the Bible says you're a new creation. But the truth is how many of you know that we're not perfect? And that there's a process in which the Holy Spirit continues to cleanse you and the Holy Spirit continues to renew you. And this process, the theological term here, is called sanctification. Sanctification is the process of growing spiritually, being more and more like Christ. In short, it just means set apart. And that's what our hearts and our lives are to be, set apart for God, set apart from the world, and set apart for God's use. So there's a process in which the Holy Spirit cleanses us, in which is called sanctification. And so where we go deeper and deeper with the Lord. And that is what God is doing with his people here in Ezekiel, that he is purifying their hearts. He's taking them deeper with him. And he says, I'm giving you a new heart where it's not a heart of stone, but it's a heart of flesh. In other words, that as God feels, we feel. And the way God thinks, we begin to think, that he gives us his heart of flesh. And I want to tell you this today, that if you'll let God, if you'll let his Holy Spirit inside, that he is going to clean up areas and work in areas that we can't. You say, I've got such jealousy, and I don't even know why I like this person, but I'm so angry and jealous at them. If you allow the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to clean that up. And you say, I've tried. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes into place, and he begins to work. I've got such anger and such bitterness. As we let the Holy Spirit come in and purify our hearts, that he can begin to heal those areas that we've been angry about for so long. And you say, I've got lust that I just can't get rid of. It's just, I can't move past it. As we allow the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts, this is what he does. That he begins to move in us. He begins to purify, and he begins to give us a heart of flesh. The Holy Spirit will purify your desires in the areas that we can't. To God, we say, hey, God, what decision should I make, and where should I invest? God, what job should I take? God, where should I go to school? God, where should I enroll my children for them to go to school? God, who should I marry? God, who should I date? Should I ever even date again? I mean, I blew it the first time. Should I? So we have these questions that come. And we're asked, that's how we tend to ask things when in regards to God's will, that we're saying, God, what should I do? And we're coming to God with the need, and God's saying this, more than knowing what I know, where to invest, who to date, of who to marry, of who, where, what job. More than knowing what I know, I want you to know who I am. Does that make sense today? So we're saying, God, help me with this decision. Help me with my job. Help me with this stuff. And God's saying, more than knowing what I want, know, I want you to know who I am. That is the purifying of our desires, that it's more about knowing God and his plan than knowing success in life. You see, the Holy Spirit's far more concerned than keeping us from the major sins. Don't cheat on your wife. The Holy Spirit keeps, don't cheat on your taxes. Don't embezzle from your job. The Holy Spirit is far more than the big stuff. The Holy Spirit is about the desires of my heart. Are you following me today? That if we want to make right decisions, part of it, the Holy Spirit saying, let me purify your heart. Because the Holy Spirit is far more concerned with us just doing the right things. He wants us doing the right things the right way. Does that make sense today? Because if the Holy Spirit begins to purify my heart, if the Holy Spirit begins to purify my desires, he doesn't have to micromanage my decisions. Does that make sense? It's all about the heart. And if the Holy Spirit begins to purify our heart and purify our desires, he begins to purify what's on the inside of what I want and why I want it. If he begins to purify those things in me, he doesn't have to micromanage the decisions I make, because my motives will be better, my decisions will be better, because the Holy Spirit has purified the reason that I want those things. Why do we want some of the things that we want? When we go to purchase something, why do I want this? Is it to impress someone? Is it to move up in esteem? Is it to ease something in my inside that is, I have this void and it will be filled with this? Why do we spend, what are the desires of our hearts? That as we begin to have a purified desire and purified hearts, that it begins to shape our decision, because the truth is we all struggle with desires. On some level, we struggle with desires. It says this in James chapter 4 today. You desire, but you don't have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you don't ask God. But when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Or do you think that the Holy Spirit says without, or Scripture says without reason, that He, God, jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us? Here's what I want you to capture with that, is that God's jealous for you. God's jealous for your affection and for your love. God's jealous for you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And if you allow Him to purify your heart, it'll purify your desires. And when your desires and your heart are purified, it will lead us to making decisions and direction that is smarter for our lives. It will help us to follow the purposes of God. In fact, I want you to pray this prayer today. As you begin to process on the sermon over the, hopefully you process on Sunday and you revisit it, I want you to ask God this as you make decisions. Say, Lord, give me your heart in this situation. Before you make a decision on your job or in your personal life, God, give me your heart in this situation, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. In fact, here's something I want you to write down. It's not in your notes, but I want you to capture this. Before we ask God to lead us, we need to ask Him to give us the right motives. Before we're saying, God, lead me on this decision, we need to say, God, give me right motives, and that will help us to make the decision that He has for our life. Because God is more concerned about how we work than where we work. He's more concerned that we're going to honor Him at the college we go to instead of the actual thing that we do at college. He's more concerned that we're going to honor Him where He puts us more than He is about where He puts us. And when my heart and desires are purified, listen to this. God begins to use the Holy Spirit to prompt my obedience. That when we're having the junk kind of removed and there's clarity and there's purity in those things, that God begins to prompt our heart and we can obey Him then because we're hearing Him more clearly. Ezekiel 36 says this, and I will put my Spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I want to read that again because I want you to capture something in this. It says, and I will put my Spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I love it. He says He's going to move us. He says He's going to move. Well, why? Because He lives in us. He's going to move us. Why? Because inside of us, He's there prompting us and purifying us, and He's going to prompt us to obedience, to continual obedience in Him. Now listen to this. Why would God prompt us to continual obedience? Because obedience is a process, not a destination. You see, I want to go from point A to point B, but God is more concerned that I just am obedient to Him. I love the destination. That when I went to college, I didn't really like college. I loved that I got the diploma. And I framed it, and I hung it on my wall. And as I began to work on my master's degree, I hated school. I hated the test. I did fine in school. I did good, but I hated it. But I loved it when I got in the mail, I got my diploma, the master's, and I framed it, and I hung it on the wall because I liked the destination more than the journey. But God's saying obedience isn't the destination. It's a process. And so when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, that was a part of obedience of His Spirit calling us and us responding to Him, that was part of the obedience. But He's saying, you're not done there, that I want to take you further. And the Holy Spirit that resides in you is going to purify your heart and purify your desires so that I can prompt you to further obedience in Him. How many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit, that something inside prompts you to be obedient and to do something? Yeah. That the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and speak to your lives. Now, what about in the New Testament? The New Testament tells us in Acts chapter 11, in verses 11 and 12 and verse 14, that we see that Peter is having to defend himself Peter was a Jew, and this whole thing started, Jesus was a Jew, and it started among the Jewish disciples. And so he's having to defend himself because they're preaching to the Gentiles, to anyone non-Jew. And the other Jews are going, whoa, 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 whoa. Chris, what are you doing? Peter, what are you doing? Don't preach to all those pagan Gentiles. And Peter's having to defend himself. And then he gives this response where it says in verse 12 that the Spirit told me. And the whole gist of this thing right here is the Spirit told me, the Holy Spirit told me, that because of his obedience, an entire family came to faith in Christ. And out of that entire family, it was spread from there to where it affected an entire generation. But Peter's obedience was the difference. You know what I find in the New Testament? What I find in Scripture? Is that we see Peter, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. We see Paul, that he was obedient to the Holy Spirit and he heard from God. And what I find all throughout the Scriptures in the New Testament is that our lives and how we hear from God is not to be any different than how Peter and Paul heard from the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? That we have to allow him to purify our hearts, that allows us to be able to hear the promptings of God. And not only are the promptings to go some places, but we see in our original chapter in Acts 16 that the Holy Spirit prompted Paul and Silas not to go some places. Don't go there. That there was a leading of the Holy Spirit, and that when we see this again, we see the purifying of our hearts, it leads us to the promptings of God. And when we follow the promptings of God, here's what I want you to write down if you're taking notes today, is the promptings of God, that God uses the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our lives. So I want you to read this verse with me today. In Acts, the next verse, verse 36. Go ahead and turn the slide there. It says, let me read it off of my version here. In verse 36, beginning of verse 28, it says this, then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. And here's what I want to say. Then what? Let's go back right up before this where in verse 27 it says, I will put my spirit in you and I will move you to follow my decrees. And then when you follow my decrees, then I will live in the land that I gave your ancestors and you will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you. Remember, I'll put my spirit in you. That then, when my spirit leads you, then I will save you from your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. I will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Look, God has a purpose for you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to live in your heart. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to purify our heart, it clears up that we can hear the promptings of God. So we're saying, God, what do you want me to do? And God's saying, I want you to know me first and foremost. God, where do you want me to go? I want you to know me rather than to know what I know. I want you to know who I am, not what I know. And then as we follow him and as we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when we obey those promptings, it opens the door for us to experience the blessings, the fruit of God. You want to know God's will? You want to make smart decisions? You want to know what decisions to make? Then allow God to purify your heart because he's more concerned with how and why we do what we do than he is what exactly that we do. Because if we have the how and the why down, it's going to lead us to the what. Does that make sense? So we're saying, God, direct me. And it starts out with, Lord, help me on this job. And instead of saying, God, lead me, maybe we should start off with say, God, give me the right motives. Give me your heart here. God, tell me what to do. When really we should be saying, God, show me who you are. Let me know your heart. Let me know who you are. Because in that, it clears up some of the decisions that I need to make in my life. But I want you to capture this as we close with this. Not only does God prompt our lives to produce fruit, the Holy Spirit also prompts us at times to prevent us from doing some things. See, Paul and Silas, they could have gone into Phrygia. They could have gone into Galatia. They could have gone into some of those places. But the Holy Spirit prompted them to prevent them from that. And maybe today the Holy Spirit's prompting us to prevent us from making bad decisions, preventing us from entering into sin, preventing us from not even sin, but a bad business decision that the Holy Spirit can prompt us to prevent us from entering into something. And so today I want to ask you this. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do or not to do something today? That in our lives, are we allowing God to purify our hearts so that he can prompt us so that then it can produce fruit in our lives? And here's the deal. Here's how you even know the Holy Spirit's working in you. The gifts of the Spirit are important, and we're going to talk about that, but the fruit of the Spirit, is it being produced in your love, in your life? Love, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things being produced in our lives? And it's showing that the Holy Spirit is residing in us and helping us. I want to ask you another question. Are you operating in confidence or in uncertainty? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, that the Holy Spirit empowers us, that the Holy Spirit gives us love and power and a sound mind today. Are we operating in the confidence of God or the uncertainty of circumstances? Because confidence comes with the Holy Spirit. So today, here's how I want us to close out. Here's really how I feel God leading us today. Is that we're going to take just a moment and we're going to worship the Lord just a little bit. Don't start packing up your stuff. Don't start packing up your purses. Don't start packing up your heart and your ears. Listen, here's what God's taking us, because we're not done. That we're going to take a little time to worship, because I believe in here some of us need to go through a purifying of our heart and of our desires. That we've got some big decisions to make. We've got some choices facing us. We've got some uncertainty about our future. And we're saying, God, lead me. When really we need to be saying, God, I want to know you more. I want to be purified by your Spirit. Because when we're purified, he begins to prompt us and we can hear the promptings of God. And then when we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, it produces fruit in our lives. Does that make sense? God said, I don't want you to necessarily know what I know. I want you to know who I am. And in knowing who I am, it's going to help you make the decisions you need to make. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. It says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to all kinds of junk. It says, be filled with the Spirit. And the way that that's worded in the original language, it's a present imperative. In other words, it say, be being filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled. Continually be filled with the Spirit. So he purifies our hearts. God, help me with this decision. Quit thinking about the decision and saying, God, purify my motives, purify my heart. And then out of that, it will prompt us to where we should go and what we should do. So I feel like in this room, with saying that, if there's some in here, you've got some uncertainty about the future and some decisions to make. And I want us to spend a few minutes worshiping and seeking the Lord, asking him to speak to us before we begin to ask him for direction. So would you stand with me today? I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment, to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, today, speak to us. That today, God, you would speak to our hearts so clearly. But Lord, not so much about our circumstance or about our decision or about the moment that we're talking about, but speak to us, Lord, to where you purify our hearts. You purify our desires. That you, Lord, cleanse, Lord, the junk from our lives, and that we're less worried about what and we're more worried about who, which is you. That we're less worried about the moment and we're more worried about, Lord, a lifestyle of submitting our lives to you, and in submitting to you and in allowing you to work in our lives and to sanctify us. That less and less we rely on the world, less and less we fall into sin, less and less we do dumb stuff, that the more we're sanctified for you, that the better decisions we make on the moment-to-moment basis, which leads us to the bigger decisions of your will. Because your will is not a destination, it's a process, a lifelong process, Lord. So today, Lord, less about tell us what to do and more about, Lord, I want to know you.